From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Hope you guys are feeling good and feeling free, ready to talk or at least listen to some football. The Chiefs have a lot of things moving forward, a lot of rumors going around about how they are dealing with the separation that they have to have during this strange preseason, offseason process, getting ready for the draft. And what came out is that not only did you know that you had to try to find a way to move around the fact that you can't have physical visits with prospects, that you have to try to really, honestly, get creative. And FaceTime is a tool that we've heard reports now that the team is utilizing to try to get some interaction with some of the college prospects that they might be looking for to try to add to this particular roster in a way that might be meaningful come draft day. That draft day is currently set to be exactly where it is, despite rumblings and what I've heard a lot more of lately about this. It's still set there, so you have to proceed as though you have to make those selections on time, just as everyone had planned the entire during the season and all this run-up. So any information that you can get from a prospect, even though it's not what you had hoped for, it's not the same as what you would do if you had been able to get them into the facility where you can run an actual workout, have the feedback back and forth of how they take coaching, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you have to do what you can do to get creative in developing those bits and pieces that are available to you, you know, virtually through FaceTime, through any kind of Google contact that I think really is the key to trying to get anything close to a semblance of what you get when you bring someone into your facility, show them around, let them get used to the environment, and try to interact and work with them. That is really a tall order. It's very difficult to get a good bead on where somebody is just virtually. There's too much distance. That close in-person contact, I think, is something that's going to be sorely missed in this process, not only by the Chiefs, but by everybody across the league. And trying to put your eggs in other baskets to try to get more information towards making those draft selections is going to be crucial. I think that being creative like the Chiefs have been in trying to get some literal FaceTime with some of the prospects is a good start. They have to double dip into the film once again. They have to rely on what they're good at, and they are very good and renowned around the league for their film study. You have to look into the athletics, and for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, you can use the code LOC2020 at rogueapc.com to get the Athletic Matrix, the first edition that is out. The draft guide is being worked on, and that's coming as well. But those pieces become that much more important, especially when you're talking about a limited number of draft selections that the Chiefs are working with this particular season. So when we get back, I went through a full mock draft complete with trades, the entire works. We're going to step through that here and review what might be available for the Kansas City Chiefs. To get your copy of The Athletic Matrix, go to rogueapc.com and use the code LOC20 to get 25% off of your purchase of The Athletic Matrix Metrics Report for the 2020 NFL Draft. That's over at rogueapc, that's rogueapc.com, and get The Athletic Matrix today. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you on the podcast what I went through in going through this week's mock draft. I decided to use FanSpeak this week, and if you missed the video over on RGR Football, go check that out. It is up, and we walk through the process of it. But I want to talk more here today about the overall arc of what not only the selections mean, but the process of getting there meant, because this was a way for me to replicate what I expect to happen. Right now, as we stand here, Sammy Watkins is a Kansas City Chief. Chris Jones is a Kansas City Chief. We're going to act today as though we have no way to see if that's going to change or not. And we're going to act as though the Chiefs have this limited five-selection ammunition belt to work with in the NFL draft. And so the first thing that you have to ask is there going to be a prospect available at 32 that the Chiefs are going to have high on their board, knowing what the Chiefs want. The Chiefs want speed at the skill positions on offense. The Chiefs want toughness on the front lines on defense, and they want the ability to track, mirror, and run with speed down the field in their secondary as well. So without getting into position specifics about scheme or whatnot, and knowing that Spags wants to vary it and that I don't think he's going to drift back towards, you know, a 70% man call like we saw under Bob Sutton, you have to expect that, especially in the secondary, corners in particular, they have to be able to play both schemes and have success in both schemes. And that limits a little bit the number of prospects that you can really viably get away with listing as a first round value. Now, this is a little bit different because for the Chiefs this year, you have to understand that anybody they list as a first rounder should be on their board and available at 32 because they're picking last. They don't have to worry about where they are in the round. If they're a first rounder and they're available at 32, then they know that they valued them so that they are an acceptable selection according to their process and how they've done their rankings. But you have to consider as well that there are a lot of other teams that are going to grade similarly who are looking for some of the same things. And not just in the secondary at the corner position, but also in the linebacker position. We've heard some leaks about the Chiefs targeting a coverage linebacker. There are three in the first round by my estimation, by most estimation. I don't think there are four. We'll see what my final board looks like when it comes out, but I do feel that right now there are three. And Isaiah Simmons will be long off the board. And so it comes down to Patrick Queen and Ken Murray out of Oklahoma. And in this particular scenario, when we started this mock draft, we watched it go through. We didn't get any pre-draft offers that we were going to take. And we got through. And at 32, there was not a player because those that we had rated as first rounders were off the board. Both Murray and Queen were gone. Fulton was gone. Diggs had gone. So anybody that we had thought were that lower end, bottom of round one, top of round two selections, they were off the board. So what I did, and I think that this is maybe a little bit rich, but is close to a scenario that I could see actually happening, is I accepted a trade to move back from 32 down to the sixth in the second round, down to 38, and picked up pick 69 in addition. That's a pretty good value. I wouldn't expect to get that much in truth, in reality, but that's very close. So basically, the top picks by that team in the second and third rounds in order to get up to 32. So they get the fifth-year option. They get a little bit ahead of everybody who's going to reset their board and be ready for night two of the draft and round two and just kind of get out front a little bit. And that is probably worth it to them. So that leaves the Chiefs holding on for another couple of picks, which they did, and got to 38 and was able to make a selection. Now, right now, for the Chiefs, knowing what they want, if those selections that were first rounders were gone and they weren't able, you don't want to reach, you don't want to dip too far down. Moving back just six spots, I think, keeps you in the range of getting the guys that you have at the top of the second and having enough of them there to choose from. Now, again, the whole league will go reset that night, that day following round one, and they'll have the opportunity to kind of switch their boards up, determine some targets, really come up with a philosophy and a plan. By getting into the top six in the second round, I think you still have that cluster of players the Chiefs will have at the top of their second round available to them so they can get a quality player there and start what is a run of multiple players in the top. So at that point, it came down to making selections. There were a number of the second tier DBs available. And I think that's important. I do feel that that is a way that it could actually work out. And so at the end of the day, going over what was really a debate between AJ Terrell from Clemson and Jeff Gladden from TCU, I ended up going with AJ Terrell. And I think the length that he brings, Yes, he had trouble in the national championship game against Ja'Marr Chase. Everyone had trouble against Ja'Marr Chase, so I'm not going to trying not to hold that particular game against him too much. There are some other little things, but I think developmental-wise, I think he has the physical features that the Chiefs look for, and I think something that they feel they can probably develop. And that's really the name of the game when it comes down to what they're trying to get done. So that selection really made itself for me. And I went with him. We got it done, and I think at the end of the day, I felt pretty happy with that, especially knowing that Christian Fulton and Trevon Diggs had gone before that there was a selection there. So that made it worth the effort. As we moved on, what that allowed us to do is then come back and get another pick at the bottom, where the Chiefs were, at the bottom of the second round. And that presented an interesting possibility, too, because like we said, only three really premier guys at one position were available in the first round. And this is where you had to pick up some steam. So we get back. We'll start with the second round selections, and we'll go through them. We also need to tell you that we have a great offer on At Last, the commemorative book that was written about the Chiefs and their Super Bowl victory. It was written by Matt Derrick, who you heard the other day. You can get 25% off of this book all about the 2019 season, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, by going to triumphbooks.com/Chiefs win. And you use the code LOCKEDCHIEFS25, and you get a quarter, 25% off of the purchase price of At Last, the best book chronicling the Super Bowl victory by the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. Hit triumphbooks.com and use the code LOCKEDCHIEFS25. Now, as we moved on to the second round and we started to pick up some steam, what was available there was the fourth linebacker on my board at the moment, and I think that's probably where he'll be at the end. That's Malik Harrison, a guy that can be a little bit of everything. He's not the coverage linebackers that Murray or Queen are, but he's a little more well-rounded. He can come downhill real well. I think he can cover to the sideline very well as well. An all-around player that I think, rather than a compliment to Hitchens, maybe his replacement eventually, and certainly in the meantime, can play with him. And I felt good about making that selection. You come back a few picks later at 69 at the top of the third, one of the picks that we traded for, and it allowed me to get a player that I think can really help the Chiefs on the interior of their offensive line. There wasn't a whole lot of value there, and I think, honestly, that the interior offensive line class is a little bit thin, especially if you're going to place a first or second round pick in that particular position group, but was able to come away with a guy that I think has great size, has good length, is somebody that I think can grow into the scheme in Kansas City and really be an anchor for the future as they kind of look to revamp the interior three in the next season or two. And that's Robert Hunt from Louisiana Lafayette. I was really happy to get an option to take him there and just kind of ride it out from that point. And it gives us a well-rounded attack on the three things that the Chiefs really had to have and that just so happened to fall in that direction. What we then came back with was another pick that I think a lot of people will be looking at, and while I wouldn't have gone with the running back position in the first round, I think in the third round, it makes a lot of sense. And it gives you a little bit of an option there. I think not only is Damian Williams underrated, but I feel like he is a guy that I think his playoff performance in particular is forgotten too often. And yes, he does miss games. He has a tendency to have injuries linger. That is the truth. But the payoff from that is how well he finishes seasons. 2 years in a row now, he has peaked in the postseason when they needed him most. But to get there, you got to have a committee at that position. I think the return of Darrell Williams will be interesting to watch. I think he gives some zing. I think he's better in the pass game than people think. And this is also a step forward from Darwin Thompson. I think we are going to see that. The OTAs, the lack of offseason training, is going to put a little damper on that. So why not give them another weapon that can help in that group that you can rotate in and out? And I think Cam Akers is a guy that really might be better in the pros than he was in college due to the offensive line that he ran behind and general maturation. So I feel like a late third round pick is not a waste there on a running back. And I know a lot of folks want to get more blood in there. So there we go. I made a pick that I thought made sense both in value and for what a lot of folks feel is a position that still needs a little bit of help just to make sure that Damian has ample support behind him. And that brings me to day three. And that's really the interesting part. It's difficult to find value, especially given that teams have very specific traits that they're looking for and valuations that they have on not only positions, but players as well. But day three is a place to find not only diamonds in the rough, guys that have been underlooked, small school guys, guys that could be bigger role players than you first expect, but it's also a time to move around and try to get as much value as you can. And so I did accept another trade early on day three. So moving back out of 138, which is the Chiefs' next pick, and moving back to 156. There's some comp picks in there, so it's a little bit more of a jump. But picking up an additional fifth. Now you could say, hey, you know, you could have gotten a sixth or a seventh and probably gotten a player worth developing there as well. But again, I think the core of what you want to do is get as many picks in the top 100 as you can. And then as close as you can stay to that top 100, I think that pays off. So by trading back from 138, ended up with 156, 176, and 177. And I think that's a nice little cluster there that allows you to make back-to-back selections, allows you to have more of a plan for a round, not just for a day. If you had to spread that out, you get to the point where you're getting into the seventh round territory where guys could get drafted or they could be UDFAs. You have question marks there. You're doing all kinds of shaking of trees to see who you might be able to sign as a UDFA that you don't have to worry about paying the big bonus that a draft pick's going to get, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it makes more of a circus, and I think the circus is what needs to be avoided this particular year with this particular process, and not having those small school guys being able to come in for visits, not having the one-on-one time that we talked about earlier. So I think by staying in that cluster, staying up a little bit higher, not dipping as far down into the sixth round, say, I think that gives them material to make better choices for depth guys that they feel can eventually develop into contributors. In the meantime, they'll have to play special teams or they'll have to fill in a specific role. And so what I ended up doing is grabbing Thaddeus Moss from LSU, who was available there at 156. And I think he's a guy that's on the upswing. I think his last year in college was clearly his best. I feel like he brings a more blocking prowess than the Chiefs have any right to right now. And I feel like he still has that upside. He's not as athletic as his father, but he has that kind of oomph behind him. And I feel like he's another player that could be ascending to the point that as maturity and experience goes to the NFL, he may end up being a better NFL player than he was a college player. And I think that's worth a fifth round pick at that point. So Thaddeus Moss, LSU tight end, comes to the Chiefs. And then I went back to Levert Hill to try and get another cornerback that may be able to work into the mix. And very big distance between the first pick in AJ Terrell and coming back to Hill now. But it does give you some background, some depth, somebody you feel can eventually step in. Now, it's putting eggs in baskets with Rashad Fenton and Chavarius Ward, but with AJ Terrell in the mix, you have three young starters at your three corner spots. Hill, and I'm sure there'll be another veteran signing low end to bolster that group, can bring that depth up, and I think that helps quite a bit. And then lastly, I went with Jake Hansen, which at the time on that particular board and that particular scenario was the best value for something the Chiefs could actually use, a developmental interior offensive lineman, a guy that can snap the ball and could eventually be somebody that can go to. He's got to get stronger. There's some issues there. Anybody down in the fifth round has some issues, but I feel like in terms of fit and upside where the Chiefs need it, I feel like he could be a decent selection. So I went with him. And that's kind of how it fell. I didn't dive into the sixth and seventh rounds and was happy to get those selections, get off the board. And for this week and this experiment, I think it went really well. I'd be interested to see what you guys think. So hit us in the iTunes reviews. Hit us on Chiefs Twitter at Locked On Chiefs and let us know what you think. I'll be doing this probably once every other week is the plan going forward. going to have another show for you tomorrow. I'm really excited about the way that this is going, and hopefully, as we get some more direction about how this is all going to unfold, the draft is still coming at us. It's going to be here, and I'm really looking forward to it. We'll probably live stream the entire first round, so keep that in mind. And again, if you'd like to see the Athletic Matrix, check out rogueapc.com. That's rogueapc.com, and use the code LOC20 to get a nice discount. Appreciate you guys listening to me today. Be back with you tomorrow. Chris has some interesting stuff coming for you. So thanks for listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.